The blog of Eugenia V. Watson, License to Kill. September 6. Okay, I've been trying to put it out of my head for days, and I can't. The nicotine patch thing is really bothering me. Mum said she'd caught Sherlock with 3 patches on. I don't know when this was, but it doesn't matter because there's no time when that's good. Under no circumstances is Sherlock supposed to ever wear more than one at once. Not just because he made a very serious promise to my father, and to me, that he wouldn't, but because he could die. And that makes me want to shrivel up into a tiny little ball and rock back and forth in a corner. So I've got to write now about something that's hard for me to think about, but I think maybe it's time. I'm going to get down as much of it as I can. Maybe this whole writing as therapy thing is worth a go. Not that I need therapy, but I guess everyone can do with a little unburdening of the soul from time to time, right? Okay, here goes. We'll see how all my English comp classes in the fancy school my parents send me to have paid off. About a year ago, Sherlock was on a really intense case. He'd had no sleep for 3 days, had ingested a totally unreasonable number of these crazy caffeine pills he'd recently discovered, and then he kept putting on nicotine patches until he got up to 7. 7! Dad had just picked me up from my chess master's house. He went into the kitchen for a sandwich or something, and I went over to 221 to see how Sherlock's case was going. I found him unconscious on the lounge floor. For a second, I was just frozen. I'll never forget that feeling. That helpless feeling of, oh God, oh God, oh God, oh God. And somehow my throat unlocked and I yelled for Dad. He must have heard something in my voice because he came running. And when he saw Sherlock, he just pushed me out of the way and got down next to him. "Jeannie, call an ambulance," he said. He was using his doctor voice. "Is he dead?" I heard myself ask him. Dad had rolled Sherlock over by this time and was checking his pulse. "No, he's alive. Call now," he yelled. Then he was looking under Sherlock's eyelids, calling his name, trying to get him to wake up. And I don't remember doing it, but I must have called the ambulance. Sherlock sort of woke up, but he was shaking and spasming, and he wasn't all there. Dad was saying, "You're going to be all right. Sherlock, just breathe. Relax." All the while, he was holding him still so he wouldn't hurt himself. The ambulance got there, and they put him on the gurney. Dad was telling them about the caffeine pills and the nicotine patches. All I could do was stand there, digging my nails into my palms and quietly panicking, not able to do anything to help. They asked Dad if he was coming in the ambulance, and he looked at me, and I knew that he desperately wanted to go, but he didn't want to leave me alone. I didn't want to be left alone either, but neither did I want Sherlock to be alone in the ambulance. "You coming or not?" the paramedic said. Dad grit his teeth. "No, I can't leave my daughter alone. We'll follow in a taxi." They started out the door, and I ran to Dad, and he hugged me so tight, but I could feel his jaw all clenched, and his pulse was so fast, and I knew that his heart was on that gurney. "You should go with him," I said. "No, Jeannie, it's okay. We'll be right behind." "I can get a cab on my own. What if he wakes up and you're not there?" Right then, like it was a miracle, Mum showed up. I'm sure it must have given her a bad turn to see an ambulance outside our house, but my mother is nothing if not calm in a crisis. She ran into 221B and sized things up in about 2 seconds. She grabbed me away from Dad and gave him a shove. "Go, hurry." "Grace, I shouldn't." "You need to be with your husband, John," she said, her arms tight, so tight around me. "Run, you can still catch them." He looked at her, then at me. He kissed me hard on the forehead and touched her on the face, and then ran out the door. It hit me all at once right then, and I just started crying and couldn't stop. Mum held me and shushed me and told me it would be okay and that Sherlock would be just fine. Once I'd calmed down, we got into our car and went to the hospital. When they finally let us see him, he was awake. He smiled when he saw us, but Dad was mad. Maybe as mad as I've ever seen him. I totally got that. I'd seen how scared he was, how long those hours had seemed until the doctors told us Sherlock would be okay and we could go in. I'd spent that time trying to deal with the idea of life without Sherlock, and what if he died? And how would any of us handle it? And I couldn't deal with what it would mean for me, so I just thought about what it would do to my dad. He'd never get over it. I might joke about it and make fun of them and say, "Ew!" But the truth is that I will feel very lucky if I ever know what it's like to be in love like they are. And Sherlock had almost taken it away because he needed a little pick-me-up. Of course Dad was mad. I thought of him and me having to live the rest of our lives without Sherlock, and it made me mad too. I couldn't hang on to it though. I was just too relieved and happy that he was awake. I ran to his bedside and tried to hug him, which was hard because he was lying down, so I ended up just sort of flopping on him with my hands on his shoulders. He couldn't really hug me either, but I felt one of his hands on my back.
"All right, Crumpet," he said.
Sherlock has never called me by the usual names parents call kids, like love or darling or sweetheart. Almost all the time he just calls me by my name. But once in a great while, he calls me Crumpet. And I've no idea why. "All right now," I said, muffled against his hospital gown.
"You're okay, so it's all right now."
I picked up my head, but he wasn't looking at me. He was looking up at Dad.
"John," he said.
His hand was lifting up a little, like he wanted Dad to hold it. "How many times, Sherlock?" Dad said. And he had that quiet tone that he gets when he's really, really mad. "How many times have I asked you, ordered you, begged you to be careful with yourself? But no, nothing else matters but the work. No one else matters. No one who'd miss you. No one who couldn't bear to lose you." I had straightened up by then, but I stuck by Sherlock's bedside, hanging on to his other hand. I wasn't going to jump in and defend him, though. He deserved whatever he got.
"I'm sorry," he murmured.
"You're sorry. You're sorry." Dad was getting madder and madder. He loomed over Sherlock and pointed across at me. "Jeannie found you, unconscious on the floor. She thought you were dead. You did that to her, Sherlock. Because of your carelessness, our daughter will always have that image in her head because you are a stubborn bastard and you don't listen." Sherlock reached up and grabbed one of Dad's hands out of the air. Dad deflated a bit. He sat down in the chair at the bedside. Mum had come up behind me and had her hands on my shoulders. I let go of Sherlock and backed off a couple of steps. I leaned back against Mum, and I was really glad she was there. Dad was just shaking his head, staring at the floor.
"When you do this, you're not just doing it to yourself, don't you get it? You're not just risking yourself. It's also me and Jeannie and Grace. You can't do this the way you used to. Christ, you're not a young man anymore. Neither of us are."
He scooted up close to the bedside and got right down close to Sherlock's face, gripping his hand and holding it up between them.
"You have to look me in the eye and promise me that you won't do this again. You will not take anything or use too many patches, not without talking to me. You can't do this to me, Sherlock. I can't lose you. I just can't."
Dad's voice broke near the end. It felt like something inside me broke too, to hear it. It felt like a long time that Sherlock just looked at him, like he was taking the full measure of him.
"I promise," he finally said.
He hesitated before he spoke again, looking straight into Dad's eyes.
"I swear, my love," he whispered.
I let out a big breath. I'd never heard Sherlock call Dad anything except John. They don't use endearments with each other, unless mad bastard and bloody wanker and idiot count. Now, I've sort of reconstructed everything that they said as best as I can remember, although I think it's pretty damned accurate since most of that evening is seared into my brain forever. This, especially, I will never forget. I can close my eyes and see it. Because when Sherlock said that last bit, Dad's face sort of crumbled up. He dropped his head to Sherlock's shoulder, and I'm pretty sure he was crying, But Mum hugged me and said we ought to leave them alone, so we went back into the hall. We sat there side by side, holding hands. Mum was wiping at her own eyes some too. She must have seen me watching her. I wouldn't want to lose him either, Jeannie. She didn't say anything else, and I didn't ask. When Dad finally came out of Sherlock's room, he looked wrecked. I got up and hugged him super tight, which I think he needed. "Are you all right?" he asked me. "Me? What about you? Are you okay?" He smiled, but it was weak. "You know, I'm not sure. I'm tired. I'm still bloody pissed, to be honest." Mum got up and took Dad's hand. "John, let's go find some coffee or something." "Coffee'd be good. But, Jeannie," he said, looking at me, "I'll stay here. I think I'll just have a bit of a word with Sherlock." Dad looked like he wanted to ask me what sort of word I wanted to have, but Mum pulled him away and walked him off down the hall with her arm around his shoulders. Have I mentioned that my mother's the best? I went into Sherlock's room by myself. His eyes were closed, but I could tell he wasn't sleeping. I sat down in the chair Dad had been sitting in, and he turned his head to look at me. "How do you feel?" I asked him.
"Tolerable. I wish I had my laptop."
"I think you're meant to be resting."
"Impossible to rest in a hospital. Not with people coming round every 2 hours to wake you up and tell you to rest."
"I heard you promise him. There are witnesses." He nodded.
"I know.
You better stick to it." He sighed.
"I'm sorry I frightened you."
He sounded sincere.
"Yeah. It was really scary. You were just on the floor. On your face.
I felt my throat tightening up just to think of it."
"What were you thinking? Or were you thinking at all?"
"No, I wasn't. I was thinking of the case."
"Well, spare a thought for another person once in a while, all right? I could rig up some kind of alarm on your mobile. It'll go off every hour when you're on a case and say, 'Remember, you have a family that would rather you didn't die, so don't do anything stupid.'"
He smiled.
"You've had worse ideas."
"Cool, I'll say. Remember Orange Peanut Banana Surprise? Bloody disgusting. And the blender was never really the same after that."
Sherlock grinned, then laughed a little. "Oh, Eugenia, you are never boring."
This was the highest praise Sherlock was capable of offering. He sobered then, and he looked at me rather intently.
"Your father was the first person who ever made me wish I could be a different sort of man. You were the second."
"I don't want you to be different. Neither does Dad. We like you the way you are."
"I dare say you both deserve better."
"Better than what?" I was choking up. "So you're different from other people. That's a good thing."
"It isn't good when I hurt people that I wouldn't wish to hurt."
He looked at me again. He seemed to sort of brace himself before he spoke.
"I love you very much, you know," he said.
"Oh yeah, big time tears on my face."
"And if I were different, you wouldn't have to doubt that."
"I never doubted that," I said, sniffing. "I can see right through you, you know."
He smiled. His eyes were wet too, and don't let him tell you otherwise. I just held his hand.
"I love you too," I whispered.
Man, that was draining. So, you'll understand now why it bothered me so much that Mum had seen him with nicotine patches on. That promise he made to me and Dad wasn't one to be broken lightly. So I've decided I have to confront him about it. This whole entry has been me screwing up my courage to have a big, hairy conversation with Sherlock, which I am about to do, pinky swear. I will continue this entry after conversation has taken place. Well, that didn't go at all as planned. I waited until Dad was out, then I cornered Sherlock in their lounge,
"What's this about you wearing 3 nicotine patches?" I demanded. He just blinked at me.
"Ah, yes, I confess I was, last week."
I stared at him. I couldn't believe he was being so nonchalant about it. "After you swore to us you wouldn't do that? How can you break your promise like that? You could die, or does it just not matter that much to you?"
Understand that I'm paraphrasing. In actuality, I was much less articulate and a lot screamier. Sherlock was starting to get that panicked look on his face of, "Oh God, my teenage daughter is freaking out, what the hell do I do now?" "Jeannie, calm yourself. I've broken no promise."
"You just admitted it! 3 nicotine patches!" He got up, took me by the upper arms and steered me to the couch where he sat me down, then sat down next to me.
"Listen for a moment," he said, and I did. "Your father gave me strict guidelines about the patches, however they weren't to do with the quantity of patches but the overall dosage. My cutoff for any given 24-hour period is 30 milligrams. I did not exceed that dosage."
"Are you calling my mother a liar?"
"Of course not. I'm not faulting her observation, just her conclusion. The 3 patches she saw were of the smallest dosage. Each one only contains 7 milligrams, so even with 3, I was well shy of the dose I promised not to exceed."
I peered at him, hard. "Really? Are you just having me on?"
"I'd not trifle with you, Jeannie. You know better than that."
"Oh." Without my justifiable anger of betrayal, I was just a bit bewildered. "But the other night you acted like you'd done something wrong. Mum threatened to tell Dad, and you got all evasive."
"Because your father would have done just what you did, and I'd rather not deal with it when I'm trying to work."
He sighed.
"I would not break the promise I made him, and you. Even I can recognize when my behavior requires amendment. And as cavalier as I may have been about my physical well-being in the past, I do not actually relish the idea of premature death."
"Well, good. Premature death is bad."
Sherlock just shook his head. "Feeling a bit lost without your righteous indignation?"
"Yes, extremely. Let's change the subject."
"I have a better idea," he said, getting up and pulling me to my feet. "I'll take you to Angelo's."
"Oh, yay! Can I have wine?"
"Don't tell your father."
"Do I ever?" So, nicotine patch crisis was averted, and I got to have wine, and the cute new busboy at Angelo's flirted with me. That is, until Sherlock asked him how his pregnant girlfriend liked living with his parents. He steered well clear after that. Jeez. Dads are such a drag sometimes. End of entry. For earlier entries or to drop a comment, please visit eugeniawatson.dreamwith.org. See you next time.